This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first in the news article this week, Delta has placed a huge order for sustainable aviation fuel made with 839 megawatts of green hydrogen. This deal is the largest deal of its kind made by a U.S. airline and a major step forward for producers looking to make green biofuels with renewable hydrogen. Fuel for the deal will be made using a version of the Fischer-Tropsch process, which chemically pairs carbon monoxide and hydrogen to produce synthetic hydrocarbons. The supply will come from a new FT plant planned by U.S. producer DG Fuels in Louisiana, furnished with an 839-megawatt electrolyzer to supply the hydrogen. Construction on the plant is due to begin in 2023, with first SAF production in the second half of 2026.
Moving on to our second headline, Collins Aerospace opens their new facility at the Houston Spaceport to support future space exploration. On August 31, 2022, Collins Aerospace inaugurated the new 120,000 square foot facility located at the Spaceport in Houston, Texas. This building and facility was a $30 million investment, which allows for expanded operations, manufacturing and testing, an additional 300 jobs in the Houston area. The new Houston Spaceport location will support the development and testing of several key space systems, including the next generation spacesuit, which astronauts could wear to work on the ISS and the moon. This facility will also be home to Houston's first ever space flight incubator to support startups, universities, and industry professionals in solving complex space technology challenges.
Looking at our next headline, United Airlines says it plans to halt service at Kennedy International Airport in New York next month unless federal regulators let it operate more flights there. Without the ability to expand its operations at the airport, United can't effectively compete with other airlines at JFK, it said in a note to staff on Tuesday. United currently operates two daily round trips to San Francisco and another two to Los Angeles. United resumed flying out of JFK in early 2021 after a five-year hiatus, and for more than a year, it has explored ways to expand there to better compete with other airlines. Earlier in the pandemic, United operated more flights at JFK by taking advantage of capacity that wasn't being used by other carriers. But now that travel has recovered meaningfully, those airlines have reclaimed their takeoff and landing authorizations. If United did exit JFK, New Yorkers would still have access to the airline at LaGuardia Airport and at Newark Liberty International Airport, which is a United hub.
Now moving on to our last headline for today, NASA delays Artemis 1's launch for a second time. On September 3, 2022, NASA scrubbed for a second time the debut launch of its Space Launch System, SLS, due to a hydrogen leak. The team made three troubleshooting attempts to no avail. The previous launch attempt was also scrubbed due to issues with the engine bleed system, which is meant to help engines get to a proper temperature before takeoff. NASA only has one more launch window on September 5th. If SLS does not launch on September 5th, NASA will have to bring it back to the Vehicle Assembly Building to retest the flight termination system. The flight termination system is meant to keep the rocket from becoming a dangerous missile if something goes very wrong during launch, and it has to be retested every 20 days.
That's segueing into the bulk of our episode for this week. And if you listened to our episode last week, we talked about AirVenture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which was held at the end of July. And funny enough timing, Kim actually attended another air show shortly after I attended AirVenture. She was at the New York International Air Show. Kim, first of all, just tell me like what the air show was like. You know, I spoke about how AirVenture was sort of a trade show, air show mix. So sort of set the scene for me. What was your air show like?
Yeah, so it was a lot smaller than AirVenture, obviously. There were no dots. There were no planes flying in or anything. And it honestly felt like a career fair, kind of.
Oh, cool.
I don't know how to describe it, but there weren't a lot of static displays, which I was a little bit like disappointed about. But they had like small like planes that, you know, the Red Bull performance team uses for like the tricks and stuff like that. They had smaller planes like that, and then it was on like a small airport, so there were like Cessnas there and stuff like that. But since it was like, so Orange County contains West Point, so there was a pretty large like military-ish vibe to the air show, which thinking about it now makes a lot of sense. But when I got there, I was like, oh, whoa. Like we walked in and there is, I think it was called like the Air Force something laboratory, and it was like a huge truck, and like you could walk in. And there's like a huge line in front of it because it was like the biggest thing to do there, really. And you would go into this truck and then you'd be able to like test your reaction skills and stuff like that. So that was like a really popular quote unquote static display, but it wasn't a plane.
Interesting.
So I was kind of sad about that. And then they had like smaller aviation, aerospace companies. They had like little booths. And they were like trying to recruit people to work for them, like giving out freebies and stuff like that. And the one cool stack display that I think wouldn't be at other air shows because it like I said, it had like a military vibe. They had like an engine there, like a military jet engine. And it was definitely used, like not in service anymore. And it had like glass paneling so you could see inside of it. And I loved that. Like, it was very cool. Very cool. And you could, like, stand at the end of it and, like, look into it from, like, the end of the engine. And you could touch it and stuff. It was very cool. I feel like that's not something you can see at every air show.
No, definitely. Yeah, that is, that does sound very unique.
Yeah.
You talked about this a little bit with, like, the military presence because of the location. Otherwise, from what you could tell, did it seem like it was a lot of just locals to the area or – like, did people, like, fly in for this?
It was definitely locals. The parking lot was packed. I feel like there were only, like, six or seven little Cessnas in the airport. So I really can't imagine that a lot of people flew in for it. When we were in the parking lot, most of the cars had, like, New York plates or, like, neighboring states there. So it was definitely a local show. And it was pretty small. I mean, considering like that it was packed, I still feel like it was like much smaller than, I mean, like the Long Island has like a huge air show where the Blue Angels come. It was definitely smaller than that too.
Interesting. Speaking of the Blue Angels and the air show, what was the show itself like? Like, were there big names there? Like, what was sort of the thing to see?
Well, I have my program right in front of me so I can read you the sequence. So we had, since West Point was super close by, a student, the student parachute team came, and that's how they kicked off the show. It was so cool. So the last parachute jumper flew down with the flag, and as they were flying down, they had someone singing the national anthem, and that's how the show started. It was very cool. Also, like, very impressive, because they flew up once to test the wind, and see like where they would fall, and they jumped, like it looked really far away from where they were supposed to land, but every single one of them landed so accurately. It was insane. So that was like a huge like wow factor.
Great way to everything open the started show.
And you know, before the show like officially started, they talked a lot about how like Orange County is like home to West Point, and they did like the whole like tourism thing about like how there is a bunch of things to do in Orange County. I guess Legoland is in Orange County too.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Know that. I didn't either.
That's a fun fact.
Yep. So yeah, Mike Gullion came in after the West Point parachute team. And for people who don't know, he's a Red Bull racer. So he races in the Red Bull Air Race. And I'm not sure if he's won anything. Oh no, he definitely has. He's definitely come at least in like the top 10. I feel like,
oh, yeah,
in the Red Bull Air Races. So that was obviously a treat to see someone like that there. He flew his extra 300, which was just a really pretty plane. And he also is the founder of Executive Flyers Aviation, which is one of the largest flying schools in the Northeastern United States. So this guy has dedicated his life.
Absolutely. In so many different aspects. Yeah,
right.
That's cool. And
I love that about people who are like super into
aviation.
Like they not only love it, but they also do things to like improve the community and like improve interests, right? Like he has a flight school, but he's also like able to compete in like the Red Bull Air Race, which is like crazy.
Yeah, it is. That is really cool.
So anyway, we watched him do like cartwheels in the sky, basically.
Yep. Classic.
Always a treat. And then we had a guy named Kent Peach come. So his act was pretty funny. So he's he's a professional stunt pilot too, and he's sponsored by Jelly Belly. So his entire airplane, right, it was like painted yellow and it had like multicolored jelly beans on it, which was...
Oh, that's cool.
And one of the things that they said in the air show was that he was interested in flying when he was 4 years old. And then they said 5 decades later, his passion has not waned. So this man is 54.
Oh, wow.
He's flying around on a bright yellow plane with jelly beans on it. And he, something they also said is that he likes to engage audiences and make them laugh. So his first act of the day, he was pretending basically to be like – a pilot who was out of it, like didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I've seen shows like that. Those are always hilarious.
And I like at first you don't really know because literally he like chucks an aileron out his like it just drops to the ground and you're like oh my god, is he okay? And then and then they had like the announcer like broadcasting basically like his communication with him,
right?
And then he would say stuff that's like, oh, I'm just doing paperwork up here. And then he would like throw out like all these forms.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, shoot, those are my taxes or something like that. So he would joke about that. And then
that's fun.
Like it takes a lot of skill to like pretend to land.
Oh, God,
So one thing he did he like touched his wing down on the runway and like scraped it a little bit and then went back up. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the precision you have to have is like insane. Yeah.
Yeah. And the confidence too.
I know. Yeah.
Super impressive. Cool. What else did we have? Oh, we had the B-25
come,
which was also a treat because I feel like that was a good thing about like a military like shows because you could see like these historic warplanes too.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting.
Was it the silver aluminum one?
Oh yeah.
What's up, Doc? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly that.
Yeah.
And they also talked a lot about the history and like how it played a huge role in turning the morale around in the war and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they told the story. Yeah. And they told the story about the soldiers and the pilots and stuff like that. Hmm. So it was very like sentimental.
Yeah, right. It's cool to hear the history behind like some of them, especially those war birds. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah. And another thing too that I love about aviation is how, I mean, I've said this before on the pod, how it's so closely tied to current events.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like, yes, it's not something you really think about. I feel like
I know.
Like,
No, you're right.
Like at that time, if they didn't have like a bomber that performed the way that it did, like I have no idea what life would be like right now. Like it changed history.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. The next one was an F-16 Viper demo. So they just had a solo F-16.
Oh, cool.
And it was just like ripping through the sky.
Yeah, right.
Always a treat, I feel like.
I know. Those are even impressive by themselves. Like, they're, like, obviously they're super cool when they're in a formation, but even by themselves, it's
just, yeah,
like, blows you away every time.
I totally agree. And it was a solo pilot. Mm-hmm. So, oh, wow. And she was a woman, too, Captain Love Amy that. Fielder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously, like, it was very cool. And it was a primer for the Thunderbirds, which I will talk about at the end. But another thing that I loved about the F-16 is that they did a heritage flight with the P-51 Mustang.
Oh, nice.
So they did a bunch of passes together, like around the air show field. And it was just like another sentimental thing that, again, was special because it was very military-ish, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like, I don't really know if they would do something like that at Oshkosh.
Yeah, right.
So that was pretty interesting. And
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I like the juxtaposition of, like, the old warplane with, like, the new modern one.
I know, yeah. I know. I don't know if I've ever seen something like that. That's a good point.
Yeah, I hadn't either. And they would just, like, zip around. I was, like, eating a cheeseburger, and I was like, oh, my God. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
So that was definitely, like, a once-in-a-lifetime experience, for sure. I think.
Yeah.
It was very cool. And then Michael Goulian came back, did some more stunts.
Cool.
And then Ken Peach came back.
Mm-hmm.
He landed on a moving truck.
Oh, neat.
It was very cool.
Huh.
He,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And the announcer the entire time was, like, explaining about, like, what needed to be done. So
right.
They have to match their speeds
To
land, right? And that was, like, super impressive.
Oh, I bet.
And he took a couple tries before he got on the third try.
Yeah.
But you would see his, like, front wheels land, and then you would see his tail wiggling because he wasn't fully landed.
Yeah.
And I was like, that must be so nerve-wracking.
Cool. Oh, God, I know. And especially, like, being the guy in the truck.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that part.
Oh, my God. Like, imagine just, like, feeling, you know what I mean? Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was really cool though. And then he had to take off from the truck.
Oh, wow.
So the truck, it was like a big pickup truck, but it obviously had to drive fast enough to a point where the plane could take off. That was also really crazy.
That's like the shortest stall ever.
I know.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy. Wow.
It was very cool though.
Yeah.
So that was obviously like a spectacle.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then we had the Red Bull Air Force come, and they had also jumpers, but they had a very different style than the West Point parachute team.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, controls in their parachute, so they were, like, zooming around.
Oh, weird, huh?
They were, like, human planes, but they didn't have, like, engines or propulsion or anything. They were kind of just floating.
Were they suits?
I don't think so.
Like, they had the chute?
Yeah, they had the chute. Did you say wingsuits?
Wingsuits, like wings, like
no.
Them? Oh, okay. Because I know that's something that they do.
Yeah, that is something that they do. But it looks like they were like standing on something.
Yeah.
Oh, Let me get a video. Okay, I don't know if you can hear it. But yeah, I'll try and show you the video. Do you see this little guy just like flying around? They're like sitting on something, it looks like. Like, it doesn't look like they have a suit or anything. Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
And that was crazy. They also had an insane amount of accuracy when they were landing. And they had, like, ribbons and stuff tied to their feet, so it just, you know, looked cool as well.
Yeah, Red Bull puts on a good show. Did they have the helicopter?
Yes.
I love the Red Bull helicopter.
Me too.
So cool. It's like the coolest thing.
Yeah. I love the Red Bull. I don't know why Red Bull is sponsoring all these aviation things, but it's cool. All their Red Bull stuff is cool.
I know. Yeah. Well, they're their own like entity of Red Bull, I think. Like, it's part of like Red Bull Sports.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, they do like really incredible stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like daredevils.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely like the more like extreme, like sporty side of
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's the West Point jumpers were like very strict.
Yeah, and, like, right.
Like they had a method of how they did things. And it was very like impressive to watch still.
Right, of course.
But the Red Bull guys, they were just like having a good time.
And, oh yeah. It's cool.
So yeah, that was that. And then we had, if I can find the page again. We had the Thunderbirds close out the show.
Of course.
And that was cool. I love the Thunderbirds, just like the Blue Angels. And they did all their formations and stuff like that. Usually the demo team, like, comes up to the audience section or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they, like, say hi. I have, like, a sheet of stickers here.
Oh, love it.
Which was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I always, like, I love these guys, these demo pilots.
I know.
Like, I have no shame. It was just, like, a crowd of kids, and I, like, ran up to them, and I was like, can you sign this, please? So they signed my program, like, right under the Thunderbirds.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
So I'm going to keep this, like, forever now.
Yeah. No, that's really cool.
And they're just always really nice. And I was like, thank you so much for coming. Like, I really enjoy watching your show. And he was like, oh, like, don't worry about it. Like, we really love doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And like, they were so nice. And then they got up in the air. And I was like, I can't believe that these, like, super nice people are, like, up there flying these crazy formations.
I'm curious, like, what was the demographic of the pilots like?
Oh, I have the team right in front of me.
Cool.
Okay, so there are three women.
Cool.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 8 or 9 men.
Mm-hmm.
And those were just the people that were there. I'm sure that's not their entire flight squad.
Right.
But
well, it's good to see that there were a couple women. I'm always interested to see, like, of that side of things, like what the makeup is like.
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. And especially when the F-16 Viper, like, single pilot, she was a woman, so that was really cool. Yeah,
right. Cool.
Yeah. So we had some representation up there.
It's really nice. Good.
And I just love seeing the F-16s. Same with the Blue Angels. Like, they would fly overhead. And like, there were a couple times where they would do the formation of the four in the diamond, and then they would have one of the stunt pilots just, like, surprise you and, like, just blow, like, full afterburner, like, super loud. And I love being able to see, like, the end of it and seeing the afterburner.
Right.
Because that's something that's so unique.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it is. That, like, bright pinky orange. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so loud. We all had earplugs in.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, a treat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, I know. You probably, like, how close were you to the flight line, would you say? Like, how close did they have you guys?
Oh, we were pretty close. Yeah. I can't give you an estimate because I honestly, like, don't know, because I've never walked into the flight line.
Right, yeah.
But we were close enough where, like, I'm sure if I yelled at the Thunderbirds, they could hear me.
Yeah.
Like, at the top of my lungs, they could probably hear me. But yeah, it was definitely really loud. Really loud.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You can, like, feel it in your bones when they have the afterburners on.
Yeah. Another thing that I always think is so interesting about air shows, I feel like I always hear it, like, sometimes mentioned, is in America at air shows, performers cannot do anything towards the audience. Which is really interesting because, like, it poses a risk to the audience. Like, if God forbid something were to happen, like, they always have to do things, like, either away or, you know, like, to the sides. I always think that's really interesting. It's like I heard it again at this year at AirVenture, like, the announcer mentioned it. Like, they always say, like, because here in America, like it's an America specific thing. I'm like, it just makes me wonder, like, what air shows are like in other places.
Because, so the Thunderbirds do their Delta Burst, and you can't really see that unless they're, flying towards you.
Yeah, yeah.
That would kind of be a bummer if they couldn't do that.
I know, yeah.
But that actually brings me to another point that I really liked about this air show. Even though it was small, they didn't have a lot of static displays. Mm. It was the runway, and then behind the runway was a small river, and then behind the small river was like a cluster of mountains and like tree line and stuff. Mm. So it was really cool because the Thunderbirds would like fly around, and then they would go like behind the mountain range. They would disappear for a little bit.
Cool.
And then they would come out and do something crazy, like the Diamond Burst. Right. And it was so cool.
That is cool. That's really interesting terrain for like around an air, like I'm surprised that given that that is the terrain in the area, that like this is the airport that they hold it at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. It definitely made for a unique show, though.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Lie.
But it was definitely like I wasn't expecting it when we got there.
Right. Yeah.
I was expecting like somewhere like Kansas, you know.
Right, yeah. Or like flat, like Oshkosh.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool, though. You're right. That does add a really unique element to it.
Yeah. So, you know, I got some good photos. Posted a TikTok about it. So, shameless plug.
Go check out the TikTok.
Yes. Yeah, I thought, cool. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Definitely wish there was more static stuff and, like, planes to check out fair. While, like, the show wasn't going on.
Right, yeah.
But it was still cool. Like, I'm so glad I went.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, very cool. It is air show season, so glad we were able to each go see one.
Yeah, and I'm glad we were to recap. I feel like these are fun.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, always something fun to talk about.
For sure.
Well, that's all we have for this week. Thanks for listening. And if you want more Above the Wing content, be sure to follow us on Instagram at AboveTheWing.podcast and newly on TikTok at AboveTheWingPod. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in our next episode.